B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Let's find out how they can actually improve their team. And the story was written by our next guest in today's Inquirer about Chris Bryant. We welcome on the Comcast Business Hotline covering the Phillies for the Inquirer. Matt Breen joins us. Hello, Matt.
Hey, Mike.
All right, Matt, let's talk about this Chris Bryant thing right out of the chute, because obviously that bat would help, but they don't have a spot for him.
Well, they don't have a spot if you consider him as a third baseman, but he's been playing a lot in the outfield, and I just thought it was really interesting. The last week, all of a sudden, Chris Bryant's playing center field three times last week in Chicago, and he's been the subject of trade rumors for more than a year now, and it just seems like the Cubs are showcasing him by saying to other teams, hey, Chris Bryant isn't just a third baseman. He also can play center if you need him to.
Matt, do you actually think he could be an everyday center fielder? He's 6'5" guy. He's never run anywhere.
But he's making it look easy. It's like, you know, I'm writing a story yesterday, and I'm looking at defensive metrics and, you know, watching some Cubs games to see how he does it, and then listening to his post-game interviews that he's done over the last month, and everybody's saying that he can handle center field. He's athletic enough to do it. I know it's crazy to think, because we don't watch this guy every day, and you look at the size that he's similar in frame to Alec Boehm. Like, Alec Boehm probably can't play center field, but Chris Bryant, his entire life has been, you know, a freak athlete. Bryce Harper called him Silk when they were kids and growing up in Las Vegas, because he was so smooth with the way he played the field wherever he was at. And I think if you can put that bat in your lineup right now, the best hitter in baseball, if you can put him in your lineup, you can live with him in center field for 3 months.
I got to be honest with you. 3 months. I can't see it. I really can't see you living with three months with him in center field. Occasionally, yeah. Mostly like a left field type of situation. I think our eyes are too big for our stomach. That hole is so big that we're thinking unreasonable thoughts here. Now, Wrigley Field is also a tiny center field. Wrigley Field is a tiny center field too, and he's played there three times. Like, we don't have a frame of reference that he would be able to handle center field.
But is a Odubel Herrera a Gold Glove center fielder? Roman Quinn, you know, I think Scott Kingery playing center field. It's not like we're used to seeing amazing defense.
My point is, you grind a guy up like that, asking him, taxing him defensively like that as a hitter. I think that's the other part of the equation.
Yeah, if the Phillies made this move, I think you would give a shot to play him in center field.
All right. And well, listen,
it's worth it. The
bar is so low that I think we're getting a little unrealistic about who can play center field. But all right, I got you. Now, are you hearing that they're really active in this?
It's so early that I don't even think trade discussions have started. It's the Cubs are 500. The Cubs are going to trade him most likely this summer. But when you have a guy like Chris Bryant, like I said, the best hitter in baseball right now, you don't trade him in May or June. You probably carry this to July to try to get the best offer, because they're in a rebuild right now. So they're trying to get the best offer they can get. And there's going to be more than just the Phillies involved. But if you look at the history of Dave Dombrowski, this is the kind of trade that he's attracted to. If he thinks his team is ready to win, is a player or two away, he hasn't been afraid to make those types of moves in the past. Wherever he's been, every stop he's always made, he's always been able to push the chips in to get that kind of player. And, you know, it just makes sense for the Phillies. I'm not saying the Phillies are going to make this happen, but it makes sense for them to do it. And if you want to look at like an ideal package, you look at the Manny Machado trade from a couple years ago, again, that the Phillies were involved with. And what the Orioles got from the Dodgers was their sixth or seventh best prospect. He was number 73 in Baseball America's top 100. So it didn't cost, you know, the farm to get Manny Machado for the Dodgers. But I think you'll see a similar return. And if that's what it takes to get Chris Bryant, then it would be crazy for the Phillies not to do that.
All right. The only thing I can think of in accompaniment with the trade of Rhys Hoskins, I think that then you play him at third, you play Boehm at first base, and you become a better team. But, I mean, I don't know about the center field thing. But we'll see what happens. All right, so Chase Anderson tonight against the Nationals. Now, they've pounded Eric Fetty. So I don't know what's going to happen tonight, but there are a couple spots now. The bullpen now with Neris is questionable. What are they right now? It seemed that they were gaining momentum, and then they kind of gave it up with some bad baseball and, frankly, some bad managerial strategy against the Braves. So what are they right now, and how you feeling about the manager, Joe Girardi?
Yeah, it's funny. They've won 5 of 7, right? So, mm-hmm. You know, we're talking about a team that on paper is hot, but really, if you watch them this weekend, Saturday and Sunday might have been the two most, the deflating losses of the season, the way they lost Saturday, and then just the way that they looked on Sunday, how flat they were. I think they're still a 500 team. They're still an average team. The starting pitching is not, especially at the back end, is just not good enough right now. The bullpen is shaky. I think we can talk about the double switches that Girardi made, but really that game's won if Hector Neris can just close out the ninth inning. He had two guys down to two strikes. And for me, I think I reevaluate who my closer is. If I'm Joe Girardi right now, I think you have other weapons that can be used back there. Or maybe you just, and I know this wasn't popular when Gabe Kapler did it, but I think this bullpen maybe calls for like a closer by committee. And you saw that last week when Neris wasn't available for a couple of days. They figured it out. They used Sam Coonrod, they used Brandon Kinsler, they used Alvarado to piece together the late innings. And I think you could do that every night. You don't have to have one guy pitch the ninth inning. You could have, whoever's your best option that night pitch the ninth. It doesn't have to be Neris every night.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Is he out of rope? This has happened to Neris before, where he's been dropped and into a lesser role. Are they at that point at this point, or they still want to trot him out there?
Girardi said twice this weekend that he's still the guy. That he's still the closer, but that's one blown save away. I feel like from changing. I don't think it's you're talking about rope. He doesn't have much rope left, I would imagine, because he's had two blown saves. He's had the two losses that were tie games that he gave him up in the ninth inning. So I just think you have like a guy like Sam Coonrod who really looks excellent when you're using him in the seventh or eighth. I think that's maybe the next guy up at this point. And Archie Bradley's starting a rehab assignment tomorrow, so he could be here within the week.
All right, two questions about particular players here. And one is the Harper thing. His RBI total, he's really has not been delivering. Is he still banged up, or what are you hearing?
Well, the RBI total is misleading because just the chances he's had with men on base.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just almost that's where RBIs kind of can be like a faulty stat because you can't drive in guys that aren't there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think Harper, since he's come back, has not looked good. And, that's the last week or so since he's been back from being hit in the face. But, if you take before that, he was excellent. And I think maybe, he's going through a rough patch right now. Not concerned about him. He's streaky his whole career. I think he'll be fine.
All right. And interestingly enough, there's been some grumblings about the way Real Muto calls a game and one or two pitchers maybe favoring Knapp to call it. Is he considered a good defensive catcher who can handle a staff? Is that his strength or not?
Yeah, he's an excellent defensive catcher in throwing, blocking, and all that. But I think some guys, such as Zach Eflin, prefer Andrew Knapp just because of familiarity with him. Andrew Knapp and Eflin, started playing together when they were in Double-A in Redding. But Eflin's last start was with Real Muto, and he said after the game, it was Friday night's game, that JT called a great game like he always does. So it's how much do you want to believe in the fact that Eflin is paired up with nap a lot, but then when he does get paired up with JT, like Friday, he looked excellent. And then he said after the game how good of a job he did game calling. I think sometimes game calling is a bit overblown, and I just feel like, you know, it's almost on the pitcher at this point.
Yeah, because it's his final decision. I just wonder, there are some times when he has called fastballs when a guy has had no clue to hit breaking stuff, and I just wonder what the mindset is there sometimes.
Well, and here's one that you may just made me think of, that Neris, the pitch Neris threw with the home run that Pablo Sandoval with the fastball should have been a splitter, but Neris said after the game that it was the pitch he wanted to throw. I'm guessing that he said that I want to, you know, throw my fastball here to set up my splitter, what his plan was. It wasn't, you know, he didn't say that was the pitch JT called for me. That was the pitch I wanted to throw, so... Mm-hmm.
You remember when in Bull Durham, when Nuke LaLoosh wanted to throw a certain pitch, and Crash kept putting down the finger? You know, sometimes you got to keep putting down the finger. Now,
no, you got to teach JT that.
All right, Maddie. Listen, good to talk to you. We appreciate it. We'll see how they fare against these Nats.
And I hear you want Odubel Herrera in center field instead of Chris Bryant.
No, I don't want anywhere near Herrera. I'm just saying, like, the low bar here. I think we're getting so desperate that we're trying to, you know, we're trying to fit something into a hole that's not conducive for it.
Yeah.
All right,
Mike.
All right, man. You got it, Matt. Thank you, Matt Breen on the Comcast Business Hotline. You know, and that can happen too. You're like so desperate. You go, yeah, that guy can play center field. My instincts say no. That's not a good idea.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.